Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
And welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick filling in for Brian Sexton. Tony Baselli is here. Pete Prisco is here as well. Guys, how are you? What's up? I don't know. It's unbelievable.
How did we make it through that gauntlet of a rally out front?
Where I must have missed the rally.
Well, there was 12 people out there.
Oh yeah, the Tim Tebow here.
Yeah.
Rally.
And you know me,
I came in, it was like seven.
I had to go stir it up and get in the middle of them a little bit.
I mean, literally, there were seven. That's not a rally. That's like a barbecue.
How'd you make it through, Pete?
Well, I just told him. I said he stinks. He can't play here. I'll take a picture with you, send it viral, and tell everybody I hang out with the Colt.
I thought the rally.
Easy enough.
I thought they'd sell 10,000 tickets. Like, I don't think they could sell five out there.
Well, and I don't get that whole thing. Okay, for the sake of their argument, let's just say
what argument
that the quarterback play here isn't that good, which it hasn't been. But he can't play any better. He's not better than either one of those two guys. But who is going to buy tickets to watch that? That's what I don't figure out. What would you? What are you paying to buy? You know what I mean? What are you buying to see?
That's a great question for another time.
Yes. I don't even care.
No, I don't either.
I mean, frankly, I could care less because he's not coming here.
It's just comical because
it's not going to help this team get any better.
No, but it's comical because it goes all over the country.
Always.
And then Orlando TV station, it's just nonstop.
One little bottom line thing happens and everybody naturally takes it. 355-NFL-1, the number. We'll take your calls throughout the night. We go now to Fremont, California. That's where the team hotel is for the Jaguars this week. The Jags are staying out west in the Bay Area before heading up to Seattle on Saturday for the game Sunday against the Seahawks. Brian Sexton is at the team hotel. It's a Marriott, right, Brian?
It is. It's a Marriott, and it's a very nice Marriott, and they have it set up in such a way that it seems like they'll be able to move through this week fairly seamlessly. They're going to practice down the road at a local college and try to get everything done. You know, I was going to come on and kind of give you some stories, but Jeff and I and you sat down and talked a little bit about the Gus Bradley TV show, so we begged him to stay and give us the fruits of his time. He got back from the stadium late last night, got right onto the tape, and so Jeff Longman, welcome to Jaguars Monday.
What's happening?
You tell me.
Man, and man, JP, I missed you today on Inside the Jaguars on Jaguars.com.
I hope I don't get Wally pipped.
I don't think so. I think Brent Martineau is certainly a very capable replacement, but he is no J.P. Shadwick.
Who is, really?
J.P. Shadwick. Yeah, there's only one true J.P. Shadwick, and Pete Prisco. I've always wanted to be on the radio with you, so it feels good.
Hey! And Tony Baselli, this is like a roundtable discussion.
Well, I mean, I'm on with Tony anyway.
Yeah, we're on all the time.
Yeah, you fight for airtime all the time.
Jeff, you talked to Gus, and you and I have talked about the game, and we obviously called the game, and it was a disappointing and a game that a lot of mistakes, a lot of mental errors, a lot of penalties, lost a lot of one-on-one battles at times. And there were some good, too, obviously. You know, defense played hard and the offense showed some resiliency at the end of the game to get things going. But what was Gus's mindset after he watched the tape and you sat down with him?
Well, I think his mindset is that he's trying to focus his team on the things that they can control. Now, this is me talking from here on out. This team does not have a lot of margin for error, which means that this team doesn't have a ton of talent. It's going to take time to acquire talent through the draft, in free agency. But to have a fighting chance, you can't continue to make mistakes. I mean, if you look at the game yesterday, 10 penalties in the game, and here's the summary of them. Seven of them were on offense, and seven of them I categorized, now not seven offensive, but seven total, I categorized as mental penalties, whether it be delay of games, illegal formations, false starts, lining up offsides, a personal foul penalty that Jason Babin had. I mean, those things can't happen for a team to have success. And you can't have that many of them against even an Oakland team. Now, if you go to Seattle and you continue to have those kinds of errors, you've got no chance. I mean, no chance at all, because you're already delinquent on the talent on the offensive side of the ball, and that's the side of the ball that's struggling so greatly.
You know, Tony, I should jump in here. During his news conference a few hours ago, Gus talked about looking at the tape and finding the things that his team could do and paring the package down. And, I mean, that was something that he talked a little bit about last week. He talked in greater detail about it today because, as Jeff just mentioned, you know, they are lacking in talent, both that which they have, which isn't playing right now, and at positions that they weren't able to address like they would like to at the draft and in free agency. So they've got to find a way to do it on a smaller basis.
Well, and we all watched the game yesterday, and as we sat back and watched that, and you look at this team, I agree with both of you, and I agree with Gus that you have to pare down, find what you do well. So it begs the question, what does this team do well offensively right now? Because as we watch it and as we talked on air and off air during that game, not great movement up front. It was better than week one. So the running game before Maurice Jones-Drew got hurt was looking okay, but still only averaging 1.8 yards per carry. Teams are going to continue to drop that eighth man in the box, leaving testing us to win outside, which at times we struggled, and we struggled with protection. So not so much what Gus said we do well, because I'm sure he didn't share that with you. But, Jeff, I mean, I have my opinion. What do you guys think this team does well right now offensively?
Well, here's the thing that I think they should do better, and that's play better up front with the offensive line. You know, I think Luke Jokel is still making some mistakes, but I thought that he showed an improvement from week one to week two. Eugene Monroe continues to be a source of frustration for me. You know, and I had concerns about the matchup with Lamar Houston, and I talked with you, Tony, and I said it to everybody that, you know, Lamar Houston's a big, physical, high-motor guy, and that's the guy that Eugene Monroe has struggled with in the past, and he struggled with him. You know, and you're talking about what Dave Caldwell and many people have said, that this is a upper-tier left tackle in the league, you know, a top-10 type tackle. Well, Eugene Monroe's got to play like a top-10 tackle, you know, for this team to get better. Brad Meester has to play like a veteran guy. You know, Uche Nwaneri and Brackley both kind of a little banged up with knees, but, I mean, the production out of those two has to be better. You know, it would help having a Mercedes Lewis, but the easiest way for this team to get better and get better now is to have that group, which has been together, you know, all of training camp, with the exception of Jokel missing a little bit of time with a hip flexor. They've been together the most out of any group on this football team.
Hey, Jeff, you can't really tell from the TV tape, but you watched the tape. For me, it looked like there were no real shots down the field. Now, I don't know if that's a byproduct of the offensive line, until late in the game, obviously, but I don't know if that's a byproduct of the offensive line. Were there guys open? Did he pass up on them? It looked like they were taking the safe throw.
There were some opportunities missed to push the ball down the field, but there were also some opportunities that were thrown that the plays weren't made. You know, the Cecil Shorts play, when he had single coverage going down the boundary to the Jaguars sideline, he's got to make that play. You know, another opportunity to the new wide receiver.
Stephen Burton.
I mean, that was a play that was thrown down the field, and it's made. I mean, you got to expect the Cecil Shorts to make that kind of play for the football team early in the ballgame. And, yes, Chad Henne did take some safe outlets that were throwing the ball underneath. But at the same time, if you're Chad Henne or Blaine Gabbert, for that matter, or any quarterback that's been sacked 11 times in two games, how much confidence are you going to have in saying, I've got time to go ahead and maybe be a little patient on that throw down the field because I feel confident in the group in front that's protecting me? That confidence is not there yet.
Well, and I agree, you know, I agree with you, Jeff, 100% in the sense that this, if you look at what we need to do well and what you have to lean back on, and I said it and we talked about it on the air, is the one group that you have in its entirety is that offensive line. And, yes, Mercedes would help, as Jeff stated, but one of the things that teams have done, the Chiefs did it, and I thought the Raiders just took a page out of the Chiefs' book, was put the eighth guy in the box and then blitz. They blitzed, I believe it was 46% of the time. And as we always talked about when I played, and we were told by the coaches continually, until you pass the test, they're going to test you. Defenses are going to do certain things. They're going to blitz and see if you have an answer for what they bring. And once you answer the and you pass the test, They'll back out of it because they know that they're exposed and you have some things down the field. But one of the things we haven't done is we have not answered very well in the blitz pickup, and a lot of the pressure and a lot of the hits and a lot of the sacks are coming from that, those situations.
Well, and Pete, you, I mean, you use the term many times. I've read it in your articles, heard you say it. The NFL is a what league?
Copycat league.
Yeah, it's a copycat league. And against the Kansas City Chiefs, they stacked the box. They knew they had an injured Blaine Gabbert, and then they discovered that it wasn't so much the quarterback that they were trying to affect as it was they were just flat-out winning against the guys up front. So what did the Oakland Raiders do? The same exact thing. They stack the box. They show blitz. They bring extra guys up to stop the run. And until you prove that you can beat somebody down the field or protect the quarterback, that's what you're going to see. And you're going to see it more from Seattle this week than maybe you saw in the first 2 weeks, knowing that they've got cover corners that are extremely good.
Oh, boy.
That are extremely good. And they have a front seven.
Oh, boy.
And then you add an extra safety into the box. But if the Jaguars offense thought that they saw a lot of pressure and a lot of stacked guys in the gaps on the line of scrimmage, wait till this week.
I was going to say, and we're going to go to break here in a second, I just watched the coaches tape of San Francisco and Seattle. Get ready. That's all I'll say. Get ready.
Guys in California, we'll catch back up with you in a little bit. Brian Sexton and Jeff Lagerman at the Team Hotel in Fremont. Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli here in the studio. J.P. Shadrick with you. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Your calls at 355-NFL-1. No Tebow. No Tebow calls tonight. Back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
I believe there was 11 total, including false starts and hands to the face and special teams penalties. We had two that occurred on fourth down that extended the drives. We had a personal foul, unnecessary roughness on a third down or second and long that would have been a third and 12 instead of game of first down. So all in all, the penalties that we had contributed to 13 points. And we just need to clean those things up.
That's head coach Gus Bradley today from the Team Hotel in Fremont, California. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick in for Brian Sexton. Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, live in the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Obviously, 10 penalties, 70 yards, key situations in the game. Can't have those, man.
If you're a great football team or a good football team, I actually think sometimes the penalty stat, if you look at the end of the year, a lot of the playoff teams get penalized. I mean, and you can get away with that because you can overcome those down and distance. It's not ideal, but you can overcome that. Turnovers is the one thing, no matter whether you're good or bad, that'll kill you. But when you're an average to a below average team, your margin for error, and Jeff said it, and we said it yesterday during the game, your margin for error is zero. This team's margin error to win football game right now is zero. You have to do things right. And Gus's point is dead on. Too often, they gave the Oakland Raiders extended drives and opportunities to score points. And I'll go into the second half. It's a 13-3 ball game. And they get him off the field on the opening drive. DJ Williams, one of the new guys, lines up offsides. Yep. Extends the drive. They get three. It's now 16-3. Take those 3 points off the board, and then all of a sudden – You score with 3 minutes left.
They're gonna go wait.
You make it a one score game.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I know, but that was garbage time at the touchdown.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. That was not gonna be a game ever.
I'm not gonna. But my point is this: you can't be giving points away.
Right. That's true.
The Jaguars.
Right.
You can't do it.
Right. You can't.
And you can't end up where they start at the 45-yard line and get backed up, and it's third and 29, and you're deep in your own territory. I
mean, you guys used to be a penalized team back in the day. Believe it or not.
We were good enough to overcome it.
Right. But remember, for all the crap that Tom preached, discipline, 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 you were penalized a lot. But you were good enough that if you went to second and 20, you could overcome it.
A lot of times they were physical penalties,
right,
though, as well.
Not against the Titans, they weren't. Second and 20.
Oh, got him.
He went in that game.
I was sitting in the press box with my ice on my knee.
Wow.
That's great, Pete. Thanks.
I got to get one in there a show, right?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Gus Bradley also – sorry to interrupt you guys.
That's all right.
Let's move on here a little bit. Gus Bradley had an update on Maurice Jones-Drew today as well during his Monday press conference.
Maurice Jones-Drew has a tendon sprain. He's getting an MRI today. We'll know more on Wednesday, but all accounts, it looks pretty good. I know he felt good this morning. So that's a positive sign.
Is it as positive as Gus makes it out to be here, guys?
Listen, I think Gus is like every other head coach in this league. They say something without saying anything, in the sense of, you know, Gus isn't going to come out unless it's a terrible injury where he's out for sure. He's not going to say, oh, he's struggling or he doesn't feel good. He's going to keep it as positive as possible. That's Gus's personality, number one. And number two, every coach does it. They don't want to give away anything when it comes to injuries.
Well, the initial injury was tendons or something in the foot, right? Or in the ankle, which leads me to believe it's different than a normal just sprained ankle or something.
Well, they called it a sprain originally during the game, and then it was a tendon strain is what
Gus did. You guys see the play?
Yeah, was that the Woodson play?
Woodson play. In watching the slow motion, it looks like there's stress on the left leg, but it doesn't look like he rolls his ankle.
No.
And there was a lot of stress in his body torqued, and all the pressure was on that left leg, in that lower left leg that had already been bothering him. And so I don't know if he retweaked it or just the stress of it. It did not look like a rolled ankle.
I'm going to say something here that's probably not going to be taken.
Popular?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's shocking to me.
No.
You never say anything.
I say a lot of popular things.
Like, when's the last time you said something popular?
Popular?
Yeah.
I just said the Tebow rally's horrible and he can't play quarterback. That's popular.
Well, yeah, depends what side of the fence you are on.
Maurice Jones-Drew doesn't look like he has the burst anymore to me. Now, I'm not going to say he's done because maybe it comes back. But in the first couple games, and I'll give you an example. Yesterday, and I haven't seen the tape, the All-22 tape, but the TV tape, there was a run to the right side where he got about 6-7 yards, I think it was. Old Maurice gets 12-13 on that play. It just doesn't look to me that he's the same guy. I'm not going to say he can't get back to that because he is coming back from an injury. But to me, it just doesn't look like yet.
Well, I don't think there's any question. I don't think that's hard to argue, Pete. I mean, right now, he coming off of Liz Frank, who's limited in the preseason in his action, and then he twists an ankle during week one against the Kansas City Chiefs, so that his lower body, his legs are – he's trying to get back in shape. He's trying to get healthy. He's trying to get his strength back and that explosiveness, and then you have a couple injuries to your wheels. I do think it affects him. I think you're right. I think right now – I think he ran the ball better in the first quarter before he got hurt. I thought, you know, the comfort with the zone and what they're trying to do was better. But my guess is if you had an honest moment with Maurice, he's going to tell you the same thing, that he is not at the explosive stage where he would like to be because he's got some injuries.
Here's the question, okay?
Yeah.
Is this the last year for him here, do you think? I do. I think no matter what happens, this is the end. And
is it injury or is it contract?
Contract. I just think it's the end. This is the end of a truly one of the better careers in Jaguar history. But I think this is the end of it.
Well, I don't know, Pete, because it all depends on how well he plays. I mean, if he struggles with some injuries and it takes him a while to get back going, the price tag to keep him is much less. And I still think he does have years left in his career, and I still think he can get back to the old Maurice. No, but I mean, no one plays like they did when they were 25 or 26.
No, but running backs particularly.
Yeah, but as a good player, as a contributor to a team, yeah, I think he still can. And you wonder, and we'll talk about this, and I can't believe we're talking about free agency right now, and I don't want to. It's week three, and I got asked a draft question the other day.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater.
I refuse to talk draft.
I love talking draft
in
September.
Right now. You got to be kidding me. So I think it's too early to tell because I think a lot to be said, and you never know what the market is for a guy like Maurice after the season's over, and he might want to just come back and, you know, finish if all things are equal.
This portion of Jaguars Monday brought to you by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. The phone lines are lit up. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll go back to Fremont, California. We will take some phone calls, too. So hang on the line. 355-NFL1, 355-6351, a 1-800 in front of it if you're out of the area. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I'm looking forward to get to know our guys even more. I think when you're here at one facility like this and you're here morning, noon, and night, you get an opportunity for that. So, and that's for us, we got to try to learn as much as we can about our players so we can help them.
That's head coach Gus Bradley earlier today talking about the trip to California. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick in for Brian Sexton, Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli in the HannityAutos.com studio. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's get to a couple of calls before we go back to Fremont. Gary in Arlington has been waiting for a while tonight. He wants to talk quarterbacks. What's going on, Gary?
Yeah, I've got an idea, and no, it doesn't involve Tebow for all those teabaggers out there. Hey, as far as quarterback situation, got a different idea. Hey, there's another team here in town called the Jacksonville Sharks. What's their quarterback like? I'll bet he's got more. I'll bet he can do more in the NFL than either of our quarterbacks have.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yep. Not wrong.
Next.
No. We'll try again. Let's end our call.
Line two, George and Julington.
It wasn't a great start. I'll be honest with you. Yeah, not a great start.
0 for 1.
We got sacked. We just got sacked.
Yeah, I'll take credit for that call.
That was a bad one.
Sorry about that.
JP.
I'm filling in.
Brian George, would never let that happen.
George from Julington Creek wants to talk coaching. George, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good.
You know, we keep talking about the Jaguars better next year. And I don't mean to offend anyone, but, you know.
You can't offend
Bryant,
me.
Was never given a winning team. He created it.
Who?
It was a Bear Bryant reference.
Bear Bryant, that's a college football, and you recruit whoever the heck you want there, and then you go play.
It is
Come
football.
On.
Oh. It is football.
Wait. Did you just go back to Bear Bryant?
By the way, his 100th birthday was this past week.
Coach.
Okay. I appreciate that's a great call. What's your point? I mean,
my point is that an NFL player signs with the team to be coached to be a better player.
So you want to fire Gus Bradley already? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely not.
What's your point then?
Any coach to make the players better.
They are.
Quit saying that we need new players.
Well, no one said they need new players.
Coach the players.
Did you just hear what Gus Bradley said? Sir, just, hold on. Did you just listen
to... Why do you need to pay people more money when they're already
there? Okay, just
there.
Hold on. I'm going to put you on mute so you can listen to this.
I don't know how to do that.
Let me just say something. Gus just said it's their job to learn these players to help them become better. He didn't say he's going to go find new guys or anything like that. But there is a draft that they're going to draft new guys, and there's free agency, and they're going to get new guys just like every other team. But Gus just said he wants to learn these players so he can make them and help them become better. So,
how about Bud Wilkinson? He didn't reference him at all.
Newt Rockne. He left him out. Yeah.
What was that guy named? Curly?
Curly Lambeau.
Yeah, Curly Lambeau. Let's get him.
There's a stadium named after that guy,
that's
Tony.
Right, I forgot.
Ray in Middleburg wants to see something.
Hey,
I'm 0 for 2.
You're awful.
Oh, yeah, bad.
Yeah, sorry about that. Ray in Middleburg.
It's 3rd and 25 right now.
We're going deep. Ray, what's up?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Save us, will you? Save us.
Most of these guys are just coming out of college or they've got very little experience. They're trying to come into a new playing field. What they need to do until these guys actually learn the real game of football, they need to go back to what they did in college. They need to do end arounds, need to do flea flickers, need to do halfback passes. You know, need to try something different. That way it'll give the opposing team, they know what they're going to do and they know how to stop it. Give them a different look. Let them see something they haven't seen. Maybe it'll open up the line and get the running game going.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. 0 for 3. Let's move on.
Okay. 0 for 3. How about we go to Fremont, California?
Yeah,
because Fremont.
It's fourth down for the host right now.
Let me go over what we just heard. We said, let's go get a Jacksonville Shark quarterback.
Bear Bryant.
Let's hire Bear Bryant. And let's just run flea flickers and end arounds and halfback passes, and that'll solve the problem.
Well, let me deal with the end around. That resulted in minus 9 yards yesterday.
Wow, that was a list of callers.
Yeah.
Hey, I love our fans. Hey, keep on calling. We love you. But that was 3 and out there.
Yeah, that's my bad.
I'll take credit for that.
Brian Sexton and Jeff Loggeman are at the team hotel in Fremont, California. What do you think of all that, guys?
Well, it's a good thing that our mics were turned off. Although we've had 3 or 4 people stick their head in here and say, you know, what are the callers like? Are they angry? And We expected it. I mean, we expected people to call up and be mad. But the reality of it is that one caller said, why are they saying go get new players? Just coach the ones you have. It's clear this team needs new players.
Well,
they're not going to fix it all this year.
It needs more players.
Yeah, here's the thing. They're not going to get more players or new players this year. I mean, they're going to add a couple guys here or there at the bottom of the roster.
Yeah, bottom end.
That maybe can help out a little bit in special teams in some other areas. But the reality is, this is the team, and I appreciate what Gus said. I think Gus is handling it perfectly. He says, listen, we're going to get better. We're going to coach these guys up. That's what we have. We have to learn our players. We have to figure out what they can do well. We got to simplify it, and that's what we need to do. And so, and I'm going to sound like a broken record because we said the same thing last week, Brian, when you were in here.
They usually do, but go
Thank you. I appreciate that, Jeff. This is a process, and it's going to be some bumpy roads and some difficult times. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it's okay. This team has to play better. They have to cut the mental errors out. They got to cut the penalties out. They got to win one-on-one. They have to get better. But you have to be patient.
Well, and that was my larger point, and that is, and Jeff said, they're going to need some more players here. I don't want people to look past this because I've been assaulted on Twitter today by people who said, how come they let Derek Cox go? You know, Terrence Knighton is drilling people and driving them off the ball. Darryl Smith, 8 tackles, you know, 2 behind the line of scrimmage. The Jaguars made a concerted effort, a decision to go young with this football team, knowing that it was going to cost them some experience and the chance to win some ball games, with the express purpose of getting better with young guys and adding more players as this thing goes along. I don't want anyone to forget the big picture here is not about this year. Now, you said, Tony, no one wants to hear that, but the reality of it is that when you look through that lens, you understand where this team is going. They're coaching their butt off. They're working to get better. All the while, they knew what they were getting into when they got started by not bringing back all those players.
Yeah, for all the fans that want the magic pixie dust, there is no magic pixie dust.
They tried some of that. It didn't work.
Hey, and for all the people that always want to reference, you know, Bear Bryant or who,
Curly Lambeau.
I appreciate that. But you know what the magic secret was to Bear Bryant or Nick Saban? They went in there and they recruited their behinds off to get better players. And then they coached the players that they had up. I mean, that's what this football team needs to do. Right now, the reality is that they're missing some key components that can make them better on the field now. Mercedes Lewis, Justin Blackmon. I still believe that Blaine Gabbert is a better option. I'm not saying he's the long-term solution, but a better option than Chad Henne. And they need to continue to acquire talent in the future. I mean, you watched the defense yesterday. Okay, they got one takeaway. Show me one play where there was speed on the field that would just absolutely terrorize a young quarterback. There was none. I mean, they're okay up front, but is there an Alden Smith, a Justin Smith like the 49ers have? Are there any dominant pass rushers, game-changing players on defense at the linebacker defensive end position, which is typically where you're going to get them from? They don't have it. They don't have it. You can't do it overnight.
Jeff, you talk about
this isn't college football where you can just go out and recruit a top 3 class in 3 consecutive years, and the window for those players is only 4 years, so you can immediately compete in a couple years. This is the National Football League. You know, you've got a career window of 10 years. It takes time, and it doesn't always work out with some guys, so it's going to take time.
You talk about guys that some missing pieces, and Justin Blackmon, 2 more weeks. Hopefully we'll get Mercedes Lewis back this week. But one guy that started the game didn't finish, and Gus talked about Maurice Jones-Drew and his tendon. What's the word out there? I mean, what are you guys hearing out there? How's Maurice? Have you seen him walking around?
Well, we've seen him walking around a little bit, and it's kind of slow and controlled. I had concerns about Maurice prior to this game. In fact, that was one of my points in the pregame television show is that, you know, and Pete, I agree with you. You know, until Maurice kind of shows that power, because he's a power back, then you have to be concerned about Maurice's future. You know, you can't assume that he's just going to be Maurice of old because a couple years ago he came back from a serious knee injury and led the league in rushing. Doesn't always work that way. We're talking about a foot for a running back that's a power back.
Hey, Jeff, you mentioned no magic dust. What do you
mean? Pixie dust.
Pixie dust.
Pixie dust.
But there is pixie dust, and they've been chasing it for years. Quarterback, pass rusher, and you mentioned they have no speed guy that can put his hand on the ground, go sack, fumble, game over, like Tony Brackens used to be able to. It might be the last one they've had, really, right? When you really look at it, Is Tony Brackens the last elite put your hand on the ground pass rusher this team has had?
Besides well, Jeff I was Augman, thinking yes. me. I was thinking me.
Yeah, but he was after you. He was after you, Logs. Come on.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't as good as me. Come on, Pete.
Yeah, he was.
He was way better.
If he played as hard as you, he would have been one of the greatest pass rushers of all time.
I used to dream at night of having that skill set. I mean, I honestly, that's the God's honest truth. I used to dream of having that type of physical gifts that Tony Brackens had. And but I mean, that's hey, how many of those guys ever come along? You know, I can honestly say this in my 10-year career. There was one guy that had attributes like that as a defensive lineman. That's Tony Brackens. They, you know, the good Lord doesn't make him every week. You know, I mean that's just that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but
you know, so you got to find one.
You got to go get him, like Pete said. You got to be able to have a passer. You got to protect the passer, and you got to affect the passer.
You were hoping that you know Andre Branch could maybe be one of those guys. And look, in the preseason, he did not have a good preseason. Week one, not a very good game. I thought he showed some things in his past game that were better, but you just got to find those type of players. And, guys, I'm going to depart.
Hey,
I love you guys,
oh, good.
But I'm going to go watch some Seattle film.
Yeah, frankly, I've heard enough of you. Enjoy that.
Hey, and Jeff, who's on All Access tonight?
Tonight we've got a double shot. We've actually have Cecil Shorts, and we also have Justin Forsett.
Awesome.
Tonight on Jaguars All Access, me, Brent Martineau, those two guys, 7 o'clock live, CBS 47.
Awesome. Jeff Lagerman from the Team Hotel in Fremont, California, joining us live on Jaguars Monday. We'll take a short timeout. We'll take more of your calls after this, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jaguars Monday rolls along after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday rolls along from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick in for Brian Sexton. He's out west. Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli in the booth. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Well, we go further west now again to Fremont, California.
I thought we were done with those guys.
I thought we
no.
were too, but Brian's there. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, I want to get back in on something. You know, Lagerman came. He was nice enough to sit in and share some thoughts with you since he watched the tape. But I wanted to make a point, and it goes back to the point about time and players. And when you go look at the San Francisco team that's being celebrated as one of the best in the league, and I think that's fair, they're across the bay from where we are right now. Just go back to 2003, right, when the Jaguars changed coaches and general managers. The Niners in 2003 went 7-9. 2004 they went 2-14. 2005 they went 4-12. Then 7-9, 5-11, 7-9, 8-8, 6-10, right? And through the course of that, they kind of bumped around, and they had Singletary as a coach, and they had a couple of other guys in there. But they started drafting pretty good towards the end of that run. Early on, you know, Quaym Harris, bust. Rashawn Woods, bust. Alex Smith, bust, but he got him a second-round pick from Kansas City. And then they picked up Vernon Davis, then Patrick Willis and Joe Staley, grabbed Deshaun Golden, who was a key part of what they did last year. You know, and then in 2010, the year before they broke through in 11, Anthony Davis, starter. Mike Iupati, starter. Navarro Bowman, starter. You know, The reality of this thing is, if people don't get this or not, is the Jaguars, no matter what you think of what they've done and Gene Smith and Shaq Harris before him, hey, man, this is all new. And they are trying to get started where the Niners were a few years ago, and that is draft, 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 and hope you find that quarterback. This is a complete build. And, you know, Gene Fournette wrote a column in the paper this morning that I disagreed with in a sense, and it was because it was almost as if he was writing, well, you know, the Jaguars aren't winning because they're doing these things. Why aren't they doing these things? Because they don't have enough guys yet. I mean, I just don't want people to get too far down the road without understanding what this is. And you need only look at the Niners and you need only look at the Seahawks, who played last night, who are two of the dominant teams in the league, is the best example of it. They took their lumps, but they drafted well. David Caldwell had a good draft this year. He needs another one next year and another one the year after.
Isn't it funny, though, Brian, how people quickly forget how bad those two teams were at one point.
Yes.
I mean, it's yes. unbelievable. But it's draft, supplement with free agency, young free agents.
Yes.
And get a quarterback.
And Gene Smith Look, and you know, and I love Gene, and I defended Gene.
So did
I. Gene made some mistakes in free agency. Yeah, absolutely. And they did in the draft philosophy that he had, and he shared it with us time and again, was that he believed that a small school guy, a Brad Meester, so to speak, had a chance to be better long term than a lot of the guys that played at the big schools because they didn't have the best travel, the best dorms, the best training table, the best weight, the best equipment, all of that kind of stuff. And his philosophy didn't work. You know, but he had a solid philosophy, and there's examples of it all over the league, but his philosophy didn't work in Jacksonville. And so they went from Shaq Harris, and that was a disaster. You know, you don't have your first-round pick from 03, 04, 05, 07. You gave away your draft in 08. 09 isn't playing all that well. You know, 10 got hurt and hasn't been that. 11 is hurt, and you don't know whether he's the guy or not. And 12 is you know, standing on the sidelines right now because he's suspended. Well, hello. If you go and take all of those first-round picks away from the Seahawks and from the Niners, they aren't contending. The fact of the matter is this is David Caldwell and Gus Bradley's first year working together, and they need to draft well, and people need to be patient and not hold the sins of the past. And they are sins among scouts, amongst personnel guys. They didn't draft well, and they made mistakes that they compounded with free agency. You can't hold it against them. You can't hold it against Khan. You can't hold it against... You can't hold it against Bradley. You can't hold it against David Caldwell. You got to give him a chance to go do this right. And the fact of the matter is that if this team is going to do it right, they're probably going to be at the top of the draft next year, and they're probably going to be drafting a quarterback. So you just got to deal with it, folks. It's just what it is.
So get your Teddy Bridgewater jerseys.
Well, yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know.
I mean, I refuse to talk about
why?
The draft.
It's fun. Speculating. It's fun.
Hey,
it's, have some fun. Lighten up, Baselli.
Yeah, you can put it off right now. We'll stop talking about it now. I'm not talking specifically about the draft, okay? I'm just talking big picture.
Yeah.
I'm just talking big picture. Go look at the Niners and the Seahawks seasons and drafts, and you will see the reason why they're winning now.
Well, we'll get up close and a personal look at the Seahawks here in 6 days. So.
All right. Well, I just, you know, I wanted to weigh in with that because I just keep hearing people, and they're just lamenting this team right now and the fact that they're losing. That's what they were supposed to do when they gutted a roster that wasn't very good anyway.
Hey, Brian, thanks a lot.
You got it, guys.
We'll talk to you.
Have fun in Fremont.
We'll see you tomorrow in Fremont, actually.
We're going out to dinner, so we will have a nice evening.
All right. Hey, and we'll go out
to
dinner.
We're going to work. Just don't worry about us. We'll be working
here.
Another
hour left over here in Duval. Thanks.
We're holding down the fort for you.
He's gone.
Thanks, Tony.
I think he's out of here.
Oh, he's already eaten.
He's gone. Brian Sexton from Fremont, California, joining us on Jaguars Money. We've got a couple of minutes here, guys, before we go to break.
Let's take a couple calls.
Let's get to Terry at the beaches. He's been waiting for a while. Speaking of turnover of the team, he has some thoughts. Terry, what's up?
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
So,
No, I think you know, the previous callers are just way off base with the fact that I'm a season ticket holder. My expectations were to see glimmers of hope through the draft, through what Caldwell drafted, to see some hopes that actually our first-round draft pick stick. And, you know, it says a lot about a team and how they're growing whenever the most productive player on your offense yesterday was somebody you got off the scrap, a tight end you got off the scrap heap, Philadelphia let go, and he was your most productive player on offense. This team is not going to get better overnight. It's going to take some time, and I guess exercise patience. I guess exercise the stand united philosophy. We need to stand united as fans and continue to support our team. I know it's going to get ugly. I'll tell you what, we're going into a buzzsaw in Seattle. I watched that game in its entirety last night, and the Seahawks made the 49ers football team look like the Jaguars looked against Oakland Raiders yesterday. I mean, they made them look terrible.
We're going to shock the world.
The world doesn't think so because they're now 20-point underdogs.
It was 16 and a half when it started. It's 20 points?
It's up to, 20. 19 and a half, 20.
Wow. Hey, thanks for
the
call.
What's the largest line ever? You have any idea, Pete?
No, but I know when you guys went to Denver that one year, you were like 15 and a half. Yeah. The Jets were 19, weren't they, in the Super Bowl, or 18 that one year against the Colts?
I thought 15 and a half was the largest playoff spread ever.
No, the Jets and Colts was.
Okay.
That's it for the first hour of Jaguars Monday. It's flown by here, guys. When we come back, a little more look around the National Football League. A great day in the league yesterday. We'll hear some of the highlights from around the league. Get Pete's thoughts on what happened in the NFL. 355-NFL-1, the number. We might take some more calls. It's 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars Monday rolls along after this on Jaguars Radio.
from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Back inside the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick in for Brian Sexton. He's out in Fremont, California. Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com with us. Tony Baselli here as well as we move into hour number two. Glad you're with us tonight, too. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, the number. Throw a 1-800 in front of it if you're out of the area or if you don't want to pay for it. A little more on this Jaguar loss, 19-9. You know, there were a few things, a lot of injuries on this team. We forgot to mention Mercedes Lewis a little bit earlier. How big is this loss, Pete? He's going to work out a little bit tomorrow, it sounds like, run full speed and see how the calf responds. But starting tight end, Pro Bowl tight end, not in there.
Well, he's like an extra tackle on the field, too, and that's where I think you're missing him. I think that's the key part there. I, as far as a threat down the middle of the field, he's better as a blocker, let's put it that way. But he's still another weapon in there. And you miss him as a blocker. You know, you can help out in pass rush situations. You can. Sometimes they did too much of that in the previous regime, I thought. But it's funny because when he came out of school, we've talked about that, Tony. When he came out of school, he was a flex guy, go down the field. He wasn't known as a blocker. Now he's a blocker who can't get down the field.
But
funny
the way he caught the ball in the preseason was very good. I mean, I'm not saying that's his strength. He's still a better blocker, but he had a nice camp and he caught the ball well and worked in the middle of the field. I think he would be a huge help to this offense, another weapon, both passing, pass catching, and blocking. So, I hope he gets back soon. They need him. This team needs Mercedes Lewis
and Blackman,
no doubt. Need some more weapons on the field. Let's go back to the phone lines. They're lit up tonight. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We're taking your calls. This is Chris in St. Augustine. Disappointed in fans. Chris, what's up, man?
Yeah, hey guys, I appreciate you taking my call. Been a Jaguar fan my whole life, born and raised in Jacksonville. I'm 33 years old, and I like to stay united. I think it says a lot, and you know where I'm disappointed mostly. I mean, it's not our two losses with the football team. It's a disappointment in the fans. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It's only week two, right? I mean, we still got a lot of football to play. New coach, new staff. New players. I mean, am I disappointed? Yes and no. I mean, sure, I'd like to come out and I'd love to go 16-0, win the Super Bowl, be on the big con, kissing my wife at the end of the game, and confetti in the air, and that all sounds great. But I mean, to be realistic, it's a new team, fresh, rebuilding, and I think we got a long way to go, a lot of football to play. I don't understand the big disappointment only in week two.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, for me, what were people expecting? And I said this last week, right? What did you expect? This is how you rebuild the team. Is it bad? Yeah, it's a bad team. It's a young team. It might be better by the end of the year. It probably isn't going to win many games. And that's okay because it's not about this year. It's about year three. 2 years from now. In 2015, it's about 2015.
All right. Thanks.
I agree 100%. 100%.
Thanks for the phone call. Let's go on down the phone lines here tonight. Chris in Julington Creek wants to talk about Jaguars defense. Why is the D tired? I think I have an answer for why they're tired. But
I can answer that.
What's up, Chris?
Hello?
Hello, Chris. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I just a week ago or a game before, whatever it was, they said the Jaguar defense was tired, and I just don't understand why in practice, you get there at 9 o'clock and why not do plays for 30 second intervals in between for 3 hours and then take a lunch break and then do plays with 30 seconds in between for 3 hours, and you would have a prepared defense for a 3 hour game,
Chris,
anywhere in
Chris,
the nation.
Chris, I have a question. Are you saying you recommend 6 hours of practice for these guys on work day?
I would like them to win and whatever it takes. I would like.
Well, you're also not allowed.
That's against the rules. The CBA.
That was my question. Yeah. Is the NFL rules that you cannot.
I believe it's 2 hours and 45 minutes on the field.
Subject them to work.
They can work, but I think practice time is only 2 hours and 45 minutes. Is that right, Peter?
2 hours and 45 minutes a day is all they're allowed, and they have to play a three-hour-and-a-half game?
On the field.
Right.
It's like 2 hours, 45,
you can work out in the locker room, in the weight room, and do all that stuff.
The reason they're tired and they got worn out.
They're on the field.
They're on the field too much. In the second half, for the whole third quarter, midway into the fourth quarter, the offense had four series, a total of 12 plays, four three-and-outs, and they had a total of 7 yards. They weren't on the field. So the defense was on the field the entire second half and for a lot of that first half. And so, I mean, listen, as an offensive player, time of possession was huge. We wanted to stay on the field and wear those guys out. And we knew we had an advantage if we could do that. You pound on them, you pound on them, and pound on them. And by the third, fourth quarter, they're just dying.
You'd still rather have had an 80-yard touchdown pass.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Of course. That's like the great myth of football, though. Oh, we want to stay on the field and get sustain a drive? No, you don't. You want to get an 80-yard touchdown pass.
You want to score. I don't care how you do it.
Right, quick.
No, but the long drives are very telling for the end of a game. I mean, it's like a body blow in a prize fight. I mean, you start pounding. Right. It pays dividends in the end.
The Fleming kid that the Jaguars were rewarded off waivers?
Yes.
He's got a little bit of talent now. Arizona cut him. He was a pick from Oklahoma, corner. They signed him. He's got a little bit of talent.
Who'd they release?
Let's see.
Burley and Ebert. And they signed McClendon to the 53-man roster.
The guard.
Yeah, Fleming claimed off waivers or awarded. McClendon signed back. He was just cut the other day. Ebert and Burley waived. And McCoy signed to the practice squad, the defensive end, who was – just cut.
They're going to do a lot of that this year. Oh, Get ready for it.
Yeah, a lot of those.
Guys are going to be moving around.
Yep, absolutely.
One more phone call before the break. John in Keystone talking about play calling. John, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Hey, the one guy about the arena ball, we got a coach, too. You know, maybe we should get Moss on the coaching part.
That's not football, by the way. I'm just going to say, put that out there. Arena football's fun. It's interesting. I know. I'm good, but that's not football. It's arena football. It's not football. So
I know. You know, I wasn't a zookeeper or a lion tamer, but I knew better than going into the cage, buddy. Hey, but the play calling, it's, you know, short, dunks and downs and 5 yards, this and that and stuff. Isn't that kind of easy to defense?
Well, it two things.
Thanks for the call.
Sometimes on the TV, it's hard to tell what's going down the field because the TV follows the ball. And so you don't know, and you can watch the tape, and I tell you, there's guys running routes, and sometimes they're not open, and sometimes there's not pressure. I mean, there's too much pressure on the quarterback, and sometimes the quarterback, his read takes him to the shorter route. And I get the criticism, and Jed Fish understands it. That's, as an offensive coordinator, if things aren't working, you're going to get blamed for the play calling. But listen, I don't see plays out there. I'm not sure what he's supposed to call. If you average 1.8 yards per carry, if you give up 11 sacks in two games, I don't know how many hits on Chad Henne, but it was 15 on Blaine Gabbert week one. There's not a lot of options of what you can do.
I am a big fan of Jed Fish. I think he's going to be a really good coach. I didn't like the first two play calls from the goal when they got down there to the goal line. I think they went run left, run right, and then tried to make a play, got a penalty, and then tried to make a play on third down. I thought with this young team, you should be in an aggressive mode there. And I don't know, maybe Henne came to the line and checked out of the play he called.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen.
Right, we don't know. But if that was the play call on first and second down, I didn't like him.
Well, you don't like running the ball ever.
No, I'd like running the ball with the lead when you're up 27-7. You know, I mean, that's when you run them.
You like arena football. You wish they threw
the
ball.
No, I just liked it. I just
you just said it's not football, but
there were 300-400-yard passers yesterday.
If Pete was calling plays, it would be about 85% pass and 15% run.
Nah, it'd probably be 7 in the first half, it'd probably be 70-30 pass, and in the second half it'd probably be 50-50 or 40-60 run the pass. I would, you throw to score, you run to win. Bottom line, it's easy. Throw to score, run to win.
In that order.
There's the answer. Right. Pete, let's just have Pete call plays.
Why not, right?
Hey, it's not. It's football, Tony. It's not rocket science. It's not all that hard. It's not all that complicated.
It is complicated if you're not winning.
If you have no players, that'd be like I mean, yeah. If you have to have players, it's X's. It's not X's and O's. It's Jimmy's and Joe's. It's always been about players. How good a coach would Bill Belichick be if he didn't have Tom Brady?
Well,
we're about to find
out. Not as good.
Yeah.
Not even close to being as good. You wouldn't. I can tell you this. He wouldn't have 3 Super Bowl rings.
No.
Great stuff, guys. Always. Thank you, Tony. Hey, this is the first time I've been with you guys.
Yeah,
together on the air.
You're getting ready to watch me whip Pete again for the third week.
He hasn't won yet.
4 weeks. I think was this week 4. I beat him.
He's gonna be. He's gonna be 0-16.
That's the copy facts. You're following the face off.
He's following the team.
Oh, come on. That's a cheap shot.
On that note, let's get to a commercial break. Stat. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Jaguars Monday rolls along on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday. From Everbank Field inside the HananiaAutos.com studio, J.P. Shadrick in for Brian Sexton. Brian out on the West Coast with the team. They're staying out in the Bay Area all week and then traveling to Seattle on Saturday to get ready for the game Sunday against the very talented Seattle
Seahawks.
They'll
be laying around all week. Some of us had to
get out of that.
Red eye back because I had to work. I had to be here. I mean, I can't trust you.
We didn't have the show on the line anyway, right?
We would have been fine without you.
I'm a grinder. Plus, I got high school football.
Oh,
you're coaching.
That's the real one.
Ah.
Had a big win last week, Pete.
Yeah. What did you beat Ponte Vedra?
Yeah,
huh?
I beat Ponte Vedra. Took it to
What was the score?
28-16. Offensive line, grinded them. Pushed them around.
You're big. It's amazing. What are they feeding kids these days, by the way?
They lived a lot earlier.
No, but they're taller, too. They're big.
I don't know.
They're big.
I mean,
kids.
I was tall, but we didn't lift like they do now.
No, they're just, it's year round now.
Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco, it's time for the Copy Facts face-off this week. The Chiefs got another win, 17-16 victory.
I called it.
The Chiefs are now 2-0.
Oh, boy, that was they had a knockout win at home since they won by one and had to hold on for dear life.
Chiefs are 2-0. They were 2-14 a year ago, but are they for real or are they a fraud?
Pete says they're a fraud.
No, I didn't. You're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say they were a fraud. You think they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. In the AFC.
They're going to be a playoff team.
Yes.
No. Not a chance.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, this week, they're going to go to Philly.
And they'll win.
And they're going to get blitzed on a short week.
No, they're not.
They're going to get blitzed on a short week. You're going to see Michael Vick.
No, they play Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
And that's a tough matchup just because Thursday night.
Changing your tune.
No, I still like the Chiefs.
You do?
Yeah. I think the Chiefs defensively are upper echelon of the NFL right now.
Upper echelon as in?
Top 10.
Top 10 defense.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. But they
maybe
also
they might be top 5 by the end. If you look at this defense, you got Tom Bahaly and Justin Houston.
Poe.
Two really, really good. Tom Bahaly's a stud.
They Justin Houston's very him good. Last year.
Deontay Poe is an outstanding nose guard.
Had 2 sacks yesterday.
Derek Johnson is a real deal middle linebacker. Eric Berry is one of the better young safeties in football.
Back now after 2 years.
Very good. You got Sean Smith, who's a big corner, physical at the line of scrimmage. Flowers is a solid guy. I don't know if he's great, but he's solid. That defense is really, really good.
They're good. And Tyson Jackson's playing better now.
And offensively, Dwayne Bowe is good. He's a
not a one.
He's a mid-level one in this league right now. Alex Smith, I like him more than you do, Pete. Jamal Charles is one of the best backs in the league.
Agreed.
Brandon Albert is an outstanding left tackle. I like their center, Hudson.
Hudson's a good player.
He's a very good player. You got the rookie who's going to come along and he's going to get better.
I'll tell you this, though, Tony. Their offensive line got beat up a little bit yesterday. The Cowboys got after it.
But the Cowboys are a good front.
Well, Ware's good. But,
very good.
But they got beat up a little bit up front. I was surprised.
I'm just telling you right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are the real deal. They were a 2-14 team last year that lost a lot of close games, had a lot of talent, and were a train wreck as far as organizationally of how that place was run and all the things that were going on, all the distractions. Andy Reid is a very good coach. He proved that in Philadelphia. They have a ton of talent, and you look at that division, they will win 9 to 10 games, and they will be a wild card team, and they will split with the Denver Broncos this year.
Upcoming schedule for the Chiefs, by the way, at the Eagles Thursday. And L. then home against the Giants.
L.
And then at the Titans.
Good game.
And then at home against the Raiders.
Win.
They will be after six games.
They'll have three losses.
No, they'll be 4-2.
Maybe, but they could be 3-3.
For sure, they could be 5-1. They are that good. They're a good football team.
So good, in fact, that you must think the Dallas Cowboys are one hell of a team then. Because they went into Arrowhead that was rocking like crazy and jumping and had a turnover late, otherwise they win the damn game.
They didn't, though, Pete.
Well, so you think the Cowboys must be pretty good.
I think the Cowboys are a good team.
Playoff team, then.
They're better.
Are they a playoff team?
They're better with Garrett not calling plays.
Are they a playoff team?
I don't know. NFC's tough. I can't figure out the NFC East. I mean,
they all lost yesterday.
The Giants got to figure it out. I mean, 11 turnovers in two games. I mean, they have all kinds of issues.
You imagine Tom with that number of turnovers.
Philly is not going to be a playoff team because Michael Vick, I don't think, will make
it throughout the
year.
The defense is horrible.
The defense is awful.
And Washington stinks.
So I think it's going to be the Cowboys or Giants out of there. And we'll see. I think 9-7 wins that division.
Well, I mean, as good as the Chiefs are, and you propping them
Chiefs,
up, they shouldn't have beat the Cowboys at home yesterday. So the Cowboys must be a playoff team.
The Chiefs will beat Philly this week. They are very, very good. And you mark my words, January 1, when the playoffs are set, they'll be in it.
Okay, so if they don't beat Philly this week, will you come in here next?
If they don't make the playoffs, then I'll be wrong. But they are.
But are they going to beat Philly this week?
I think they will. It'll be a tough game. On the road, traveling, short week.
San Diego went on the road on a short week and played Philly and beat them.
Not that short.
Short week for Philly, too, now.
Not that short, but further trip.
I understand, but not that short a trip. A week. I mean, you're talking 3 days.
Right. But they were working on it last week. Were they not? When you played a Thursday night game, did you ever play a Thursday night?
Yeah.
When you played a Thursday night game.
No, we did not work on it because we played the Ravens. And then we played the Steelers. So we weren't worried about the Steelers. We had to worry about the Ravens first.
So you never did any work on it? But by then, the Steelers were a division opponent.
Yeah,
we
played them twice a year,
So it didn't matter.
I think it's going to be a hard game for the Chiefs because of the fact with this new Chip Kelly offense. But in Chip Kelly's offense, they got all these one-on-one matchups, and I think the Chiefs are better than the Eagles in the one-on-one matchups.
We will see. We will see. They'll have their first loss on Thursday.
Game of the day in the league, at least my thought, was in the AFC South, Houston and Tennessee, and it ended on this play in overtime.
Third and goal from the three. Foster in motion to the left. Schaub in the gun. Schaub throws right side of the end zone. Hopkins with the grab. Does he keep both feet in? Yes! Touchdown! The Texans win it! Schaub to Hopkins for the winning TD in overtime.
Obviously, Houston Texans radio there at Reliance Stadium.
The Titans are better than I thought they were going to be.
Me too.
Right.
Me too.
I'll give them credit. I was wrong about them. I still don't think they have a quarterback, and I don't think they're a playoff team because of it. But they're Munchak, give him credit. That defense is playing very well. I haven't seen Chris Johnson yet, but all reports, he's back to what he was before.
Line's good. Line's better. Good.
So I think that's a good team. They should have beat the Texans.
Yeah, they should have. They went for two when they were up when they scored the touchdown late.
Yep, I agree.
And you know what? I didn't really think about it when it happened, and I went back to my room last night. I thought about it. I go, they should have went for two.
Well, explain the situation for all everyone.
Okay, here's what happened. 4:58 left in the game. Alteron Werner picks off Schaub on what was a horrendous throw, returns it for a touchdown to put him up seven. I said they should have.
They're up seven before the PAT.
Right. They kicked the PAT to go up eight. I say in that situation, you go for two to go up nine.
Right.
Because if you don't make it, you're still up seven. And if the Texans go down and score, they're not going to go for two. They're going to kick the extra point and go to overtime. So I thought in that scenario, what you're doing, the only thing you're doing is forcing them, if you kick the extra point, to go for two and make the two.
And they're not going to.
No, if you do kick the extra point.
Oh, right.
To go up eight, then they got to make the two, but I still think it's worth the risk for you to go for two and make the two.
But the Titans are going to be a good team. They're much better than I thought.
I'll tell you one thing about the Texans.
Andre Johnson got a concussion as well.
But with Hopkins on the other side over there, that's what they've been lacking. They've lacked the other threat.
And that's what I said, you are not a believer in the Texans. And I said with Hopkins coming in, they are going to be much better. And they're going to be one of the teams that are going to be vying to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC.
How long is Johnson going to be out?
Kubiak says that he's got to go through concussion protocol, but he expects him to play this week.
And you're raving about the Texans. And how close are they to being 0-2?
No, I agree. I'm just saying. you made my point, though, for me. DeAndre Hopkins makes him a much more potent offense.
Hey, who do the Texans play this week? You know who they play, right? They play the Ravens.
Okay.
They played the Ravens last year, didn't they? In Houston?
Yeah, I got that one wrong.
Don't you owe me dinner still? He comes. We're both at the game. He comes. Oh, this is going to be an easy one for the Ravens. I go, the Texans are going to win the game. They destroyed them that day.
I didn't say it was going to be easy. I just thought the Ravens would win.
You're going to be more physical, is what you said.
Right.
And they weren't.
I was wrong.
And they looked like anything but a Super Bowl winner that day. Remember? They were horrible.
Who's going to win this game?
I don't know. It depends. It depends on where Ray Rice is this week.
Is it in Baltimore?
Yes. It is in Baltimore, yes. How about this schedule coming up for Houston? At the Ravens.
They got Seattle and San Francisco, right?
That's right. Seattle, San Fran back-to-back. They're at San Fran. Rams at home. And then at the Chiefs.
They got a tough schedule.
That's real tough.
Well, that's what happens when you win the division. You got a tough schedule.
Yeah, that's a tough schedule. How about the Colts? The Colts play the Niners this week.
That'll be an interesting game.
Luck versus Harbaugh.
I think the Colts will struggle in that game because their offensive line is not very good, and I think they'll get manhandled.
And they lost Donald Thomas yesterday for the year.
I think they'll be manhandled by that.
That's going to be tough for them. Yeah, no question.
Jaguars Monday rolling along. JP Shadrick in for Brian Sexton. He's out on the West Coast with the team. Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. Tony Buscelli. And Pete, what's up?
Yeah. Ryan Clady may be out for the year.
With a foot?
Liz Frank.
That's not good. That hurts that team bad.
Yeah, at least for weeks, because they might put him on that injury reserve where he can come off of it. But
it'd be out 8 weeks in.
Yeah, but it could be out for the year. Liz Frank is bad.
It's a bad injury. That's what Mojo had and had to have surgery.
Yeah.
This portion of Jaguars Monday brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We'll come back with more in just a moment. We might take some more phone calls, too. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jaguars Monday rolls along after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars Monday continues from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. JP Shadrick in for Brian Sexton. He's out west with the team. Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, and Tony Buscelli. This injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. All of a sudden, the Jags are a little bit banged up. Of course, Mojo with a tendon strain in his ankle, an MRI coming tomorrow, Gus said today. Blaine Gabbert probably not going this week. At least Gus Bradley said that was a possibility. So it looks like Chad Henne again with that. And actually, Blaine had his hand exposed today to the media in the team hotel.
I saw it on the field yesterday.
Not good.
It was gross.
It's nasty.
Plus, I mean, do you want to throw him back into that?
To Seattle? Yeah. Heck no, he's not playing. No. There's no way he's playing.
You think he plays next week? The following week?
I think there's a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was ugly.
How did he cut it? It
was up on a helmet. I think the buckle of the helmet.
On the buckle.
Yeah.
So he's throwing.
No, it was a running play, and he was got tackled, and his hand got pinned between the helmet and I think the body, and it just ripped it.
Oh.
Yeah, he had the ball in his hand scrambling for like a 4-yard gain, and the helmet went right on his hand.
You wonder why there's not more of that with the buckles.
First time I've ever seen that.
That was a bad gash.
It was bad.
A few other injuries. Uche Nwaneri, knee injury in the game Sunday. Expected to practice Wednesday, Gus said today. Alan Ball, an MRI coming on the hamstring. Held out, most likely will be held out a lot this week to be able to go Sunday. He played pretty well. He was nicked up going into the game.
Yeah, I thought he had a good game. I thought he, Terrell Pryor is not going to throw the ball very much at all. He only threw a little over 112, just over 100 yards. So I thought the secondary was fine.
That's why they signed Fleming. That's why they picked up Fleming, because obviously there's concern about
Ball.
Well,
and they're thin. They're paper thin in the secondary.
But now Ball might not go.
Well, he was a game-time decision last week. My guess is he'll be a game-time decision this week, and I wouldn't bet against him. He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
A Sanders rib injury should be good to go this week. Lewis will work out tomorrow in the Bay Area, most likely run full speed for the first time, and then they'll reevaluate, and Mike Brown still has a back injury. Let's get to the phone lines, guys. They're lit up again. Peter in Fruit Cove is upset because he's heard this before about rebuilding. What's up, Peter?
Well, it was with Jack Del Rio. He said, we're going to take back the house, and we're going to rebuild, and we're going to have a really good football team. Now we're starting over again after he's gone. We're starting again with Gus.
Well, we've had, Peter, I don't know how to break this to you, but we've had two other head. This is our third head coach since Jack Del Rio. So what Jack Del Rio said or didn't say really doesn't mean a hill of beans right now. I understand the frustration, but that was like in football years. It's like 100 years ago.
He also said it wasn't going to be no more 3 yards in a cloud of dust when he got here, and boy, did he lie about that.
Well, so, I mean, listen, I think you got to start from scratch. New GM, new head coach. They gutted the roster. They're rebuilding something here, and I understand the frustration. No one likes losing. No one likes being 0-2 and having the performance that the team had. I get the frustration of the fans, but referring back to Jack Del Rio doesn't make much sense.
Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Steven in Orange Park. He wants to know how long this is going to take, this rebuild. Steven?
Yeah. Hey, and my question is, I think we have a great team. I think that playing in the NFL has got to be very difficult. It's got to be very hard. You have to be deep with a lot of guys for backup. But really, realistically, how long does it take to rebuild a team? I mean, is it 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, or if it's just inevitable that you'll always win or lose?
I'll give my opinion. I think by year three, you should be in the playoffs or at least contending for the playoffs.
I agree. I think 2015, this team should be pushing for a playoff spot in the playoffs.
It should be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate
it. You know, so next year, so let's just say for the sake of argument, they win two games this year. Next year, it should be 6 or 7. The year after that, it should be 9, 10, or 11.
That's, I agree. That's that quick.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Has to be that way.
Yeah, it has to be.
If it's not that way, then you start all over again.
Something's going wrong.
Right.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Samantha out at the beach. Let's talk defensive line. Samantha, what's up?
Yes, I was just wondering, most NFL teams have about 5 or 6 to 8 defensive people up on the defensive line when offense is on the field. Why do the Jaguars only have 4 most of the time on every play?
Most teams either run a 4-man front or a 3-man front. What you're seeing there, Samantha, is how the linebackers are positioned and the outside inside linebackers and whether they bring an 8th guy down near the line of scrimmage, which is usually a strong safety. The Jaguars do that. But as far as big guys, defensive linemen, most teams, actually, all the teams are either a 3-man front or a 4-man front, and it just depends on the philosophy of the defense.
Plus, it's a lot easier to be more aggressive up front when you have corners who can play man behind
right.
them. And you're facing, for example, if the Jaguars defense was playing the Jaguars offense, they would play a lot more press man coverage and blitz more.
And you see the Jaguars have the 8th guy down there quite a bit. Against
right. Terrell. They would blitz more.
Yeah. And so but just to answer your question, Samantha, it looks like sometimes there's more guys that are defensive linemen, but really there's only 3 or 4 defensive linemen. The rest are linebackers, and then a safety comes down every once in a while.
Thank you.
All right, Samantha. All right,
Samantha, thanks for the call tonight from the beaches. 355-NFL-1, Jaguars Monday rolling along. J.P. Shadrick in for Brian Sexton. Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com is here, and Tony Baselli, what's up?
You know what she was saying, because she's obviously a Jaguar fan, so when she watches the Jaguars offense play, it looks like there's 32 guys on the defensive line.
Fair enough. Wow. It looked like they were playing with a lot more than we were,
didn't it?
It
sure did.
True. Jaguars at Seahawks. How about listen, the Seattle team last night? I don't know if we've gotten into this too much yet, but this defense is, I mean, pretty stout.
I'll say it this way, and Pete is the leader of this group, and I'm not saying he's wrong, that just the mantra is it's a quarterback league, it's a quarterback league, it's a quarterback league, it's a quarterback league, it's a quarterback league. And listen, the Aaron Rodgers, what he did, and the Peyton Mannings, and the Matt Ryans, and the Ben Roethlisbergers, and I mean, you go down to Drew Brees, I mean, they're fabulous players, and they get you 2, 3, 5 extra wins than other guys that play that position. I mean, they are that good. But last night, it was all about going into the game about Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson and the young quarterbacks, and they're fabulous players. And I'm a believer in both of them, and I think they're going to be franchise guys, and they're going to lead those franchises to a lot of wins and contend for championships because they're very good players. But that game was not about the quarterbacks last night. That game was about which offense and defensive line dominated the line of scrimmage, and it was the Seattle Seahawks. They whooped the San Francisco 49ers. On both sides of the ball, they dominated the game. They controlled the pace of the game, and that's why the Seattle Seahawks beat the San Francisco 49ers. And so, well, it's hard to argue that in today's football that it is about the quarterback more than anything else. A close second to me are the two lines. And if you can dominate the line of scrimmage like the Seattle Seahawks did, boy, there's a huge margin for error with a lot of the other positions.
Yeah, and if you can pressure that guy, you know, you talk about...
Yeah, both sides.
Yeah, but particularly if you can pressure, if you're playing Rodgers and you can knock him down a bunch and influence what he does, then you're probably going to be more successful and have a better chance of winning that game. If you can't knock him down, he's going to kill you. I don't care what you do on your side of the ball. If you can't knock him down or Manning down or Brady down, you're not going to
Well, you go back to the last year, the Seattle Seahawks, when they beat the New England Patriots in Seattle. And granted, Seattle's a much tougher team when they play at home. But you watch that game. The Seattle Seahawks ran the ball with Marshawn Lynch. They dominated the line of scrimmage. They pushed the Patriots around, and they got after Brady.
And then they got a late touchdown to win the game. It wasn't like they dominated the game.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that's there is still a formula to win football games when you can dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides, like the Seattle Seahawks did last night.
But if you don't have a quarterback who can make plays and you still have to have a guy.
My point is, it was all about Kaepernick and Wilson. That's all you heard about.
Right.
And that's all that you'll hear about for the coming weeks.
Right. But you should.
But it's all, I'm telling you, that game was decided for one thing and one thing only, is the Seattle offensive line and the Seattle defensive line won both lines of scrimmages when they were on the field, and they dominated the game. They were more physical. They were more aggressive. They were faster.
But that kind of game will be decided by that more so than other games. For example, when Seattle's physical defensive line with Gus Bradley and that unit last year went to Atlanta in the playoff game, they didn't dominate the line of scrimmage because
Chris Clemens wasn't in there, and they were running. go back and watch that.
They ran at Bruce Irvin.
They ran at Bruce Irvin, but that's why they gashed them.
No, the reason they didn't dominate is because they didn't really run for that much.
Go look at the first half. The matchups were favorable
because Matt Ryan knows how to get the ball out of his hands to the right guy.
If Chris Clemens plays that game, Seattle beats Atlanta last year.
There's some people who think if RG3 doesn't go down, Seattle doesn't beat the Redskins. They were down 14-0.
I'm talking about that game.
Yeah, we'll
never know. I mean, we're guessing. Listen, I think the quarterback is still the most important position on the field. It's not even close. It's not like an idiot if you think anything else. I'm just saying last night, and you can't forget that this game at the end of the day is still about the team that can control the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball. Go back to the 18-0 New England Patriots with Tom Brady and Randy Moss and Wes Welker, the greatest offense to ever play in the National Football League. And they lost that game because the New York Giants whipped them up front.
They also lost the game because they didn't have an elite pass rusher who could put Eli Manning on the ground when he had to put him on the ground.
Okay, it's my point. Pass rushers
and quarterbacks.
I disagree a little bit. It is quarterbacks, offensive line, and defensive line pass rusher.
Okay, let me go to my four-pronged approach, see if you agree with this one. It's always been this one.
Don't need to take notes.
Quarterback, guy who knocks the quarterback down, guy who keeps that guy off the quarterback, and the guy who knocks the quarterback's passes down. In other words, if you have a premier left tackle, a premier pass rusher, a premier quarterback, and a premier corner, you're pretty much set across the board.
I'll add one more thing, because I think in today's NFL, Pete's exactly right.
Big play receiver.
The offensive line. It is that left tackle, but with the way teams overload and what they do today, I think you have to have a complete offensive line.
It's hard to have a complete offensive line.
Well, there's the teams that are good, they do. I mean, go back to the Super Bowl of last year.
That offensive line, the team that won it last year didn't have a great offensive line.
They played great in the playoffs.
Right.
Bryant McKenney, whatever happened, the light bulb
they
went
played
on,
better.
And he played great. And he shut down Alden Smith, and Assembly shut down Justin Smith, and they were physical.
But they weren't great, though.
Yonda is a very good right guard.
Right. Yeah.
Orr is a good,
Burke
solid.
Burke was average at center.
But they won the battle up front.
Right.
You have to win up front.
I'll give you that. You have to win the battle, but if you have Rodgers, or a guy like that, or Brady, it helps you win the battle because they escape, they move, they slide, they feel it.
It's still quarterback league. I'm just saying, if you can win in the trenches,
yeah, it makes it easier.
This game will never change from that ultimately.
And certainly the Jaguars the first 2 weeks have not won in the trenches. There's no doubt about that. And they're 0-2. Jaguars Monday rolls along. We'll take a timeout. Try to sneak in a couple more calls. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Jaguars Monday wraps up right after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Now first down, snap to Rodgers, throws the right side, Nelson leaping, Lorenzo, touchdown!
Folks, what an adjustment to the football on the back shoulder.
Jordy Nelson spinning high in the air to beat Bakari Rambo in the corner of the end zone. 15-yard touchdown play. It's 30-0 Green Bay.
That made it 31-0. The Packers beat the Redskins 38-20 yesterday. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick in for Brian Sexton. Pete Prisco here. Tony Boselli here.
It wasn't that close either.
No.
No, they. When Rodgers is playing like that, you might as well just pack it up and go home.
480 yards passing for Rodgers, 4 touchdowns, no picks.
I think he had like 370 in the first half. I mean, it was incredible.
It was 24-0 at halftime.
It would have been fun if they just let him go the whole time.
Well, that's why somebody kept saying on the TV, well, he's only this much away from breaking Norm Van Brocklin's record for 5. So he wasn't going to get to that.
No, Mike McCarthy's pulled the dogs off.
Plus, the Redskins didn't – it was such a blowout. It wasn't like he was going to let him throw on them.
That's what I'm saying. You're right. Yeah.
Everybody's saying, what's wrong with the Redskins? What's wrong with the Redskins? What's wrong with the Redskins?
They're not very good defensively.
Terrible.
They got Arakpo and Kerrigan are very good players.
Both had sacks yesterday.
Yeah, their secondary is not very good. London Fletcher, sooner or later, Father Time's going to catch up with
him. It's catching up to him. We caught up to him last year.
And I still am a believer in RG3, but listen, he had no preseason. He's a second-year quarterback. He's coming off an ACL. I mean, it's going to take time for him to get into a rhythm. I know Pete's not as much of a believer in RG3.
No, I like RG3.
No, I'm just saying you don't think he's a pocket guy.
Well, we don't know that.
I think his
ability to become that was stunted by what they did last year. And now you expect him, can he run? Well, he can't run anymore.
Well, this is how bad it's in Washington. Mike Shanahan was asked today at a press conference, did he ever think about benching RG3 and put Kirk Cousins?
Well, people are pushing him for Cousins to start,
that's my
Tony.
Point, which is ridiculous. And Mike Shanahan laughed at it. I mean, come on. I mean, RG3's your guy. I mean, you're going to ride with him until he can't do it.
But this is why. And I know the injury didn't happen on a read option play, but this is why the read option will die a slow death. Because now that he's hurt, can he run it anymore?
Your whole argument just went out the window when you said he didn't get hurt on a read option play.
No, but they were so reliant on it, and that's what he could do. Now he can't do it.
Well, I think I think he'll be able to by week 4 or 5.
I don't think he's ever going to be able to do it the way he used to do it.
So you don't think he can run anymore?
Not like that.
I disagree.
What, just because Adrian Peterson does?
No, I think RG3 will – listen, he tore his ACL in the playoffs. He's starting week 1. If anything, they should have let him heal up a little better.
I'm going to bring it to home, close to home for you. Brunell used to run around like crazy. Then when he hurt his knee, he didn't run around anymore. True?
He didn't run around like RG3.
No, but he ran around. He was much more of a runner until he hurt his knee.
Okay.
You can't run like that and sustain it. And when you're so reliant on that style of offense, when it comes time to play the other one, which I think you will eventually do, by the way, it's just going to be a tough transition for him for a while. And so they stunted him last year. It worked. They got to the postseason, but I don't think he's not where he should be.
He'll be fine. But the Redskins' issues are not RG3. It's the fact that their defense is awful.
Right.
Pete, we were texting during the game last night. The way to stop the read option going forward is hit the quarterback.
It's always been like that.
Yeah, but they didn't hit him last year. This year they're hitting him. Ahmad Brooks got Russell Wilson last night. I thought he was going to kill him.
Clean hit.
Legal hit.
Yes.
Because if you're in the mesh and you pull out and you're not giving yourself up, they're going to start hitting him.
Which they should.
I would.
I would too.
I might even get up at 15-yard run and take a few of those blasts. I mean, because that's going to wear. I never played the game. You play the game. But I imagine when you play the game at that high level, I imagine when you get hit like that and you're a quarterback and take those shots on a regular basis.
It doesn't feel good.
But how's it Does it wear your body down as the game
goes
on?
No, what it does, it makes you hand it off more.
But does it
Forget
wear
this read option.
But everybody says that it wears your body down as the game.
Does. Yeah? Always, yeah, I mean, it wears you out. You get hit like that. By the end of the game, it's, you know, it's like a boxer. I mean, you, how many shots can you take before you start to, your legs get weary?
I still wonder about fingers. That's the one that's going to – everybody keeps talking about knees. I worry about fingers. If a hand gets broken, a finger gets broken, you're going to have problems playing quarterback if it's your throwing hand.
That's playing Gabbert.
Right?
Tell you all about that.
Listen, Pete and I disagree. I don't think the read option's going anywhere. I think it'll always be a package for teams that have mobile quarterbacks. Where I might concede a little bit to Pete is it going to be the center of the offense like the Redskins were last year? Probably not. But it's always going to – I mean, the Redskins are – I mean, the 49ers are going to run read option as long as –
Well, look,
Colin Kaepernick
is the quarterback. Wait. I'm not saying it's
you said it was going to be dead, that no one
dead
was going to be playing
as an offense. It might be like the Wildcat still gets shown around once in a while, right? You still see the Wildcat.
Well, I mean, listen, it's still the bread and butter of the 49ers. You go watch the tape.
It wasn't the bread and butter against Green Bay the week before. They didn't run it at all. Did you watch the Green Bay tape?
Yeah,
they didn't run it at all.
Go watch the Seattle tape.
He threw for 400-something yards.
Go watch Seattle tape.
I know they used it the other day, but it's not the bread. It's going away. It'll be dead by November.
Saints beat the Bucks yesterday, guys, 16-14. But the big story
the
of that
Bucks
game
are imploding.
Goldson suspended, right?
One game because he's a constant
15
abuser of the program.
15 unsportsmanlike shots to the head.
And we're
last
in an era now when we're talking about concussion issues, and you know you got to be careful with that. So they're going to try and set examples.
The other one that they're talking about might be looking at a suspension as well as Brandon Merriweather. Which I don't.
He knocked himself out.
The shot. I thought the play on Eddie Lacy was a clean play.
Well, it's funny because for years,
he's running the ball.
For years, the ones in the hole, they never were a problem. Now they're all of a sudden the problem.
Didn't you think that was a clean play?
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to say.
Good hit.
I thought Bernard Pollage was dirty.
It was.
The forearm. I think he should face it. I think he's dirty anyways.
The Owen Daniels came out and was not happy about it, said he was targeted and it was a cheap shot and he should have been fine.
I agree. I thought it was a bad play.
We don't have a lot of time left, but how do you straighten Ndamukong Suh out, Tony?
You don't. I'll tell you, you want to know how you straighten him out? If you
bench him.
No.
Suspend
if you're
him.
The offensive line, go cut him every play.
Suspend him.
Go cut him on the backside, go right at his – listen, if you want to play this way and you're going to go after our guys around the league, then we're going to come after you.
He's a dirty player, and he needs to be suspended. He needs to be suspended. I mean, there's no bottom line. Fines aren't going to do it. You got to suspend a guy.
Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, thanks for letting me on, guys. Good to be with you.
You did okay. After the first three callers, you did much better.
It's a two-hour show, thank goodness. That's it for Jaguars Monday. Thanks for joining us. Jags at Seahawks this Sunday. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.